How you guys doing? For those who don't know, my name is Devante. I have the honor and privilege here at Wave Church to serve as our young adults pastor and our community groups pastor. And man, I'm just humbled right now, because it's really nothing but the grace of God. And I just wanted to say, welcome. Regardless if you feel as if you belong here, if you honestly don't even fully believe in this whole Jesus thing, it's all good. I believe that God wants to speak to all of us tonight. And before we move any further, I just got to show honor to where honor is due to our senior pastors, Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon. And not many of us understand the weight that they may carry. I, by all means, definitely don't. But a lot of people say that they're the same on stage as they are off stage. And I say that they're a million and one times better. Because on stage, you can never fully grasp the full weight and magnitude of their character, their integrity, their love, their passion. And I really believe we have the greatest senior pastors on this planet. And not only that, but I also think we have amazing young adults pastors as well, with Pastors Josh and Brooke. And I just wanted to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys for everything you do. Thank you for going to areas and doing things that no one would ever do. And thank you guys for being such crucial leaders in my life and even in my wife's life as well. I 100% just love you guys. I'm not gonna cry. Had an Austin Jones moment there for a second. I started talking like a lamb. I just wanted you guys to know, I just love you guys. Can we all give it up for Pastor Steve, Sharon, Josh, and Brooke tonight? And for the band as well. You guys can all take a seat. It's all good. I've got 30 minutes, and I've got a lot to say. And so we're going to hop right into it. We're going to be reading from John chapter 8, verses 31 on down. And it says this: to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied and said, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but the son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Let's keep that verse up on the screen. Can I pray? Jesus, thank you for every single person who is in here tonight. God, I need your help. God, move me aside. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you speak tonight to every single one of our hearts. God, I pray for those who do not yet know you. God, I pray for salvations to take place tonight. God, we thank you for everything that is you are about to do. In your name, amen. Does anyone in here have siblings? Anyone got siblings? If you are the oldest sibling in here, can you make some noise at your boy? What about my younger siblings? Can y'all holler back at me? What about my golden child? How about the middle child? Can y'all holler back at me? Yeah, we're all forgotten sometimes. It's all good. Have you guys ever wanted to, like, hurt your sibling? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's be real. Like, let's be a little bit honest tonight. Have you ever wanted to hurt your sibling? Well, I have. I will never forget my sister. I've got an older sister. Her name is Shay. My older sister, one time, she went through this weird phase of where she wanted to pull pranks on everyone. And so because I am the younger sibling, she decided that all of her pranks were going to be pulled on me. So one time we were staying at my grandparents' house, and in the middle of the night, she thinks that it's so funny to put peanut butter all over my face. And I don't know what kind of sleep I was getting. I was like in the middle of a coma, but I woke up the next morning with peanut butter up my nose. It was all in my eyebrows. I woke up and it was just peanut butter everywhere. It's in my pillowcase. I was like, this is disgusting. And it was crunchy peanut butter as well. Like, what psychopath has crunchy peanut butter? Like, you know what I'm saying? And so I remember I sat there and I was so mad. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely gonna get you back. And so the next night we went back home. My mom came and got us. And so she had fell asleep, and I was like, yeah, you definitely lacking. So what I ended up doing, I went to the kitchen and I'm looking for like ranch dressing. We didn't have ranch because ranch can definitely be wasted because it's disgusting. Blue cheese is always the will of God. Don't argue with me. Stop. Blue cheese. Amen. Stop. I went to look for ketchup. We didn't have ketchup. Like, I looked for like barbecue sauce. We didn't have barbecue sauce. So I was like, dang, like we need to go grocery shopping. So then I open up the pantry and I see this big old bottle of hot sauce. Yeah. So I walk into my sister's room and I unloaded this entire bottle of hot sauce on her face. Don't say, oh, don't feel bad. She deserved it. So I unload this entire bottle of hot sauce. It's just hot sauce just everywhere. And so she doesn't wake up. So I seal it with a smack. I'm like, bah! So I smack her in the face and she doesn't like still flinch. And so I smack her again. And then she finally wakes up. But then actually hot sauce got down into her eyes. She still deserved it. I don't care. And so she's like sitting there and she's freaking out and she's yelling and I'm yelling and we're going back and forth. And then my mom, she wakes up and she comes into the room and she's like, what's going on? And my sister's like, I put peanut butter on him and he put hot sauce. And she's just like so confused of like, what's going on? And I remember in that moment, a lesson that I learned that is so powerful. And I learned the lesson that sometimes telling the truth, it can be painful and it can be a little uncomfortable. My sister first had to tell my mom what she did. And then because of that, obviously, as well, I forgot this important portion of the story. I don't know if you guys understand this, but in the African American community, when a black mom gets mad, she says this thing and she looked at me and she said, boy, I brought you in this world and I'll take, oh, y'all got black mamas too. Okay, cool. I'll take you out of it. And I learned that telling the truth sometimes it can be a little bit awkward. And it can be a little bit painful and it can be uncomfortable. Title of the message tonight is Let's Be Honest. Let's be honest. Can y'all holler back at your boy a little bit as well? Point one is this, is what is the truth? Jesus says in this verse that we shall know the truth and the truth will set us free. And I believe that sometimes if we are not careful, we can end up buying into the lie that the enemy may try and tell us that other people can be a little bit better than us or people who've been in the Christian game, so to speak, a little bit longer than us, that they might be better than us and we don't deserve the love and the grace of Jesus. But what I've discovered is that people who've been Christians longer than us, they're not better than us. They may be a little bit better at hiding their weaknesses. And everybody in here, we've got a weaknesses somewhere. We've got struggles somewhere. We've got vulnerabilities somewhere. So how come when it comes time for us to share our struggles or to tell our testimonies, sometimes we remain silent? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says this, they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the power of their testimony. And I love that Jesus never once hid his humanity from us. Jesus was 100% God and he was 100% man. So he was 100% God and he had all power in his hands, but he was 100% man. So he also went through every possible emotions just like you and I. So Jesus got anxious at times. Jesus felt depression at times. Jesus also had some moments where he was angry. He was frustrated. Jesus wept. And I absolutely love that Jesus, my example, our example, he mimics this so brilliantly. And the truth is we all struggle, right? Holla back at your boy. The truth is we all have weaknesses, right? And if I was to ask everybody in here, what is it one of the things that you're most ashamed of? Nobody is quick to say, hey, Devontae, I have crippling anxiety and sometimes I really want to give up on life. Yeah. Or, oh, hey, Devontae, I really hate my family and I really feel as if I've got daddy issues. Or, hey, Devontae, I'm getting well in my years a little bit and I'm getting a little bit nervous because I don't know if God really has somebody for me because I'm really insecure about my singleness. Can we be real tonight? And I really believe that sometimes when we don't tell the truth, that is where the enemy has the greatest power in our lives. The truth is Jesus loves us. The truth is, despite our mistakes, Jesus paid the price. And we are waiting for God to heal us in areas, but he cannot and he will not do it simply because we have not yet revealed the truth. The Bible says the truth shall set us free. So what truth are we holding on to that God is like, I want to get to that area, but you won't let me in. God will never force his way in. We have to go first and take that first step and saying, God, this is where I'm at. God, I'm insecure. God, I've got some anxiety I'm dealing with. God, I've got some suicidal thoughts sometimes. God, I've got some depression sometimes. And as soon as we reveal these certain things, I really believe that that's where God can start to heal us. And the truth is we are all desperate in need of a savior, but we first need to be honest and to let somebody know the truth. The word that I'm talking about right now, this isn't a sexy message or a fun message or anything like that, but it's an essential one. And I really want to share some thoughts tonight that are really practical so that we leave the service tonight, not leaving on hype, but we actually leave here saying, like, I know what I can do. Like, I've got a next step that I can do tonight. The word that I'm talking about is accountability. And I've learned that there is a difference between honesty and accountability. Honesty is being real when someone asks, and accountability is sharing the information without someone asking. Caleb, can you come up here and help me out real quick? The Bible says that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Hold on real quick. And all sin is missing the mark. And I really believe that some of us in here, we struggle with some things and some other things that they've been put on us. And some things we've done to ourselves. So for me with anxiety, I didn't do anything to deserve this anxiety, but I was just kind of born with it. And over time, it just feels as if I got these chains and now I've become a slave to this. Can I be real? Can I be vulnerable tonight? I've got an older sister. And my older sister right now is in prison, and she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. I didn't do anything to deserve these type of chains in my life. I didn't do anything to deserve it. It just happened to me. But because I'm walking through this, now I've become a slave to something if I do not direct this in the right way that God has me to direct it. And there's some things that they just happen to us. Like, I didn't want to be anxious. I struggled with anxiety for 10 years. I didn't want to be anxious. It just happened to me. I didn't want to have to battle some of these thoughts that I had pertaining with my, it just happened. But then there's some other things that we end up doing to ourselves. Like when I was in high school and I was sneaking out of windows and I was walking away from the purpose that God had for me, that was no one else's fault. That was my responsibility. And I think that sometimes we end up getting some things confused and we try and put the blame on everyone else and we negate the responsibility of things that we still have to do. And regardless of what it is, the Bible says that we're slaves to it.
Oh, it broke off.
And I believe it's on the right hand. And I believe that as I sit here and I think about it, there's some things that, like I said, they just happen to me. I'm a slave to anxiety when God has called me to be free. I'm a slave to insecurity when God has called me to be free. I'm a slave to culture when God has called me to be free. And you know what's ironic about these chains? It becomes a little bit more difficult for me to do normal things because of the chains that I have. And we come to church, and I believe that some of us, we may look like this. Lift up your hands and worship the Lord, but I can't really do it because this anxiety and this insecurity that I'm battling with God, I really want to surrender all that I am, but I can't do it because I still got some insecurity in my heart. Or get into your word and find out how much Jesus loves you. Ah, God, I'm trying to, but because of these thoughts that I have, it says that you said that I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. How can I even receive that kind of love when I don't even love myself? Can I be real? Same thing happened with me as well with my wife. God said, I've got a beautiful wife that I have for you, and I want you to fully love her. But if Janie was standing here right now, I can't fully get to her. I can't fully embrace her because of the chains that I have in my life of where I struggled with purity, when I struggled with boundaries in the past, and I didn't live fully. And because I did not tell the truth, I become a slave to these chains. And even still, I'm thinking about it. And as I'm trying to walk in my purpose for pastors and leaders as well, we're not people who are above accountability. I'm trying to walk in my purpose right now, but because I have not been transparent, because I have not gotten these chains off of me, it's a little bit awkward. It's hard for me to do this right now. And there's a verse in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, and it says this, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades in my hand. You know what this verse means? This isn't just a feel-good thought. When Jesus died and he went to the grave, he wasn't in the grave just chilling. He went to hell and he came back. He actually was down in hell. He went through the separation. He went through the anxiety for us. He went through the depression. He went through the suicidal thoughts so that I would not have to. So my question for all of us is, why on earth would we allow the devil to have the same power over us when Jesus already gave us all the authority?
My question for all of us is, what truth do we have? Because the Bible says that it will set us free. Yeah. Tell the truth. Who are you accountable to? Who are people in our world that love us, who will challenge us, who will rebuke us, who will encourage us, who see the best in us? Because Jesus says this, I hold the keys, and now I give them to you. We can't do this alone. James chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The power of a righteous person is effective as it is always working. This is why community groups are so important. Caleb, can you take me out of this? Thanks. You can leave this one. And even still, as I get out of these chains, I'm just thinking about the scars that I even have on my wrist right now, and that's a part of our testimony. And yeah, I'm free right now, and things get a little bit easier, but I don't ever want to forget what it is that Jesus has saved me from. And because I have been saved from some certain things, the same thing that the devil used to torment me with, that's the same thing I'm going to torment him with. Every single day, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did, and by the power of our testimony. I gotta hurry up. Can I give us some practical tips on being accountable? Yeah. Step one is this, is ask God for forgiveness. First John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we are struggling with anything, the first thing that we need to do is we need to ask God for his forgiveness. Before we do anything, we need to repent. And all repentance means is you are going one way, but now I'm going to turn and I'm going to go the other way. And every single time we make a mistake, we need to repent. God, I'm coming back to you. Step two would be this, is to find a friend or a leader, and a leader actually, in life. We got to get a homie. We got to get some friends in our life. For me, that's Caleb Cox, Caleb Helmlinger, and Pastor Josh Kelly. And every single one of them, they know every single part of my life. There is nothing that is hidden from these individuals. And if you were to ask them, please don't ask them, but if you were to ask them any of the struggles that I've had in my life, they would 100% know every little detail about my life. Who are those people for all of us? And I know some of us might be in here and being like, that seemed kind of extra, bro. It don't take all that, do it? Like, I'm good, I'm grown, I'm gonna do me. Like, do you, boo-boo, like the old saying goes. But I've learned this, is that I've lived in bondage for so long, and I'm not going back to it. So in order for me to live in freedom, if that costs me to be accountable, then by all means, so be it. Step three would be this. Take initiative and schedule a time to meet with them. Don't wait for these individuals to come back to you and ask, hey, can we meet up again? Just want to see how you're doing in this area. You've got to tell these people where you are. And also, can I add in a little caveat? It's got to be somebody who was saved as well. Because sometimes we'll end up telling people who honestly aren't in our corner for the best reason. Like, we'll try and be accountable to the people who we go to Peabody's with. If you know what Peabody's is, ask someone. And we're not accountable to the right people. And because of that, they're in the pit with us, and there's no one who can actually pull us out of the pit. Step four is to share with a friend and to be completely honest. When you confess to someone who you're accountable with, then you pray. And step five would be to pray. Without prayer, it will not be as effective as what it could be. Praying is inviting God in on what is going on in your life. And number six would be this, set up boundaries. So good. If our conversations do not end with boundaries that line up with God's word, dare I say it, it's pointless. I can't tell you guys how many times I struggle with certain areas of my life. And I got the forgiveness and I got the healing, you know, from the friend, you know, I told the homie, but because I didn't have the boundaries on the end of it, I always returned back to what God had already healed me from and saved me from as well. We got to have boundaries as well. Point two is this, is what truth will set you free? Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 20, it says, this is Paul. He says, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. And instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what's right, but I can't. You ever feel like that? I want to do what's good, but I don't do it. And I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one who is doing wrong. It is the sin that is living in me that does it. All this Bible verse is pretty much saying is, we're not good people. And because we're not good people, we are all desperate in need of a Savior. The guy who wrote the Bible was the guy who was also killing Christians as well. I'm crazy. I'm just thinking about it. And honestly, sin sometimes, it feels kind of good. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and also the pleasures of sin are only for a season. So if we did not think that sin was a good thing, we wouldn't do it. But sometimes we still are human. You know what I'm saying? We're human. We're going to mess up from time to time. But the Bible is saying this, is that we're going to mess up. And I don't always want to do what is right. And I cannot do this by myself. Do you know how many times I've tried to control my anger or to have a life that was full of purity or even still live in the boundaries that God had for me on just sheer willpower? I can't do this by myself. And not only can I not do this without friends, but I also need to have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, it's just going to be that much more difficult. I will never forget a few years ago, we had a band who actually came here to the church, and they needed some, you know, strong young men who could help unload these boxes and all this other stuff, their gear and their equipment. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bet, like, that's me. I got you. And so, Caleb, you remember this. So Caleb and I, we're actually lugging these boxes through that door over there, and we're carrying these boxes, and it's so awkward. We're running into the walls, and we scraped up the walls. Sorry, Dwayne. And we were just messing up all this stuff. And we've unloaded, like, probably about, like, 10 boxes, and we're just exhausted. And then this guy, he stands literally right there, and he goes, hey, what are you doing? Like, he was an Aussie, but I don't want to do an accent because all Aussies sound like pirates to me. They're like, aye, what are you doing? And then this guy says, there's wheels on the bottom, mate. And I look in. I had the wheels on my side, and Caleb had the handle on this side. And I'll never forget this story because I really felt like this is an image of how it looks walking through this life without the Holy Spirit. We're going to this destination and we're carrying all of this heavy stuff when there's wheels on the, there's an easier way for us to get to our destination. Yes, I am a Christian, but the times of where it is, I do not lean on the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just like carrying all of this stuff by myself. And I don't want to get to heaven and then God looks at me and says, you did things well, but you didn't do them as well as you could have because you did not lean on the advantage. Jesus actually said that the Holy Spirit is our advocate. He said, it's better for you that I go so that the advocate can come. Do you know the Holy Spirit? He's not just a good vibe. He's just not some chakras or anything like that. He is the same Spirit that rose Christ Jesus from the dead, and he now lives in us. I'll never forget when I struggled with anxiety. I had the worst anxiety attack of my life when I was 21 years old. And I had a nightmare, and I woke up, and I'm sitting in my bed as a grown man sobbing. And I called my mom, and I was like, Mom, I don't know what's going on. I feel it's like something's just wrong. And my mom prayed for me, and I went to the doctor, and I got prescribed anxiety medication. And I will never forget, when I got home, I looked up in the mirror, and I just started sobbing because I felt so low and I felt so defeated. Because I'm like, God, like, how did I get to this point? And I'll never forget, as I sat there and I looked in the mirror before I took my medication, I said, God, this is not my source. You are. Right now, this is a resource until I get to that destination. So every single time before I get to that healing on the opposite side, I'm going to thank you and I'm going to pray every single time. And I took anxiety medication for 2 years, just trying to keep it all together. But every single time, God, thank you for my healing. God, thank you for my healing. And I will never forget August 1st, 2019 in our Norfolk campus. Shout out Norfolk. On our Royal Youth Conference, we had Pastor Josh Sepp. He ended up asking some people, he said, hey, if you need prayer for just anything right now, just raise your hand. And I was like, you know what? I need healing. So I raised my hand, and I will never forget students, leaders, some random dude who I didn't know, they all laid their hands on me. And they prayed for me. And it was like a wind just came over me. And God healed me of my anxiety. And I don't want anybody in here to feel less than. Just understand this. God is real. Do not lose faith in God. God has been so good to all of us. And he will empower you through this life with the Holy Spirit. And I've got three ways that the Holy Spirit will empower us. The band can come on up. There's a verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, and it says this. For God is working in you, giving you the power and the desire to do what pleases him. I love this. Because the first portion of this verse, it says, God is working in you. You know what that means? That I'm not complete. That means that I'm a work in progress. And I think that sometimes we end up forgetting it as well. Please leave the verse on the screen. But I think that sometimes we end up forgetting as well that other people are still a work in progress as well. So let's have grace for our friends. Let's have grace for pastors. Let's have grace for leaders. We're all a work in progress is what God's word says. And the next portion, it says this. To give us the power and the desire to do what pleases him. So you know what that means? Whenever I have a desire in my heart that is contrary to my sin nature, that's not my desire, that's God's desire. And what that means is every single time there is a thought for me to even tithe, that's not my desire, that's God's desire. Whenever there's a thought for me to go and pray for someone, to go and be generous, to even have faith in something, God is actually saying, I want to give you that desire, but I will also give you the power to do that as well. The Holy Spirit empowers us in three ways. Number one is this, in our convictions. And I think that sometimes the word convictions has like this heavy like meaning behind it as well. So I think a better word to use is convince. Like the Holy Spirit will convince you to do what is right. I will never forget, I had a moment of where I needed to be accountable for something. And I called Caleb Cox. And I picked up the phone. And I was like, hey man, like, I messed up, I did X, Y, and Z, whatever. And I'll never forget having my friend on the opposite side of that line encourage me. But on the forefront of it, I did not want to do that. After I did what I did, I let it sit for a little while too. And there was plenty of times of where I felt like the Holy Spirit was just convincing me. You gotta tell somebody about this. You gotta go and be accountable. I prayed to God and I repented, so I already had the forgiveness, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was just sitting on me. I just felt like just low. And God said, hey, I've already forgiven you, but the reason why you feel this way is because you need healing. Pick up the phone and call him. 2 weeks straight, God was just sitting with me. And I finally picked up the phone and I called Caleb and he prayed for me. And the wave and the rush of relief that I just had, man. But I would never have done that if it were not for the Holy Spirit. James chapter 5, verse 15 through 16, it says this, if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. Number two, the way that the Holy Spirit will empower us is by being accountable and transparent. Transparency means what information are we freely giving up? Now, not to everybody. Some of us, we gotta guide that a little bit. Don't tell everybody. Go back to those steps where we talked about earlier of who loves you, who encourages you, who sees the best in you. It could be your campus pastor. It could be a CG leader. It could just be a really good friend. Go to that person and be transparent. God's word says, I will give you the power and the desire to do what pleases me. The Holy Spirit will empower you. So when you ever have those moments where you start to feel a little bit of that conviction, that convincing, understand that that is the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart. Jesus is here to bring freedom, but the choice is ours. And last but not least, the Holy Spirit will empower us for salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. This is my last verse. It says, so I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Romans 10:9, it says this, that if you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And I will never forget experiencing this firsthand because it's not me, but it's the Holy Spirit who's knocking at the door of my heart. Once again, to do what pleases God. I got saved when I was in middle school, and it wasn't at a youth night. It wasn't at a summer camp. I was in middle school, and my stepdad at the time became an alcoholic, and he was just abusing my mom. And I remember after everything, I kind of like hit the fan and everything came out, we had to go and move to Richmond, and we had to live with my grandparents for a time. And my mom came into my room and she said, hey, do you want to go to church with me? And I sat there and I was like, no, not really. But at least I'll get McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of it. And I remember sitting in a church service and seeing my mom lift her hands and worship. Man, I'll never forget that. Dancing with her lip busted. And I was just staring at her. Like, how? How on earth can you celebrate a God when all of this stuff just happened? And I will never forget, years later, now I'm looking back and I realize that it was nothing but the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't help but to feel encouraged. Because like I said before, this isn't a half-baked spirit. This isn't a diluted spirit. This is not an ancient spirit. It's not just good vibes. It's not just positive thoughts. It is the same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead. And it's the same power that is accessed for each and every single one of you. The same spirit that was with me with anxiety is the same spirit that helped my mom. It was the same spirit that was with Jesus on that cross. And it was the same spirit that rose him from the dead. Do you know who Jesus is? Not have you heard of God, not if you believe in him. I'm asking, have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you made him your own personal Lord and Savior? It's nothing that I'm saying. If you feel this tug in your heart right now, it's the Holy Spirit. Do not harden your heart. Lean into this moment because God wants to speak to all of us. So right now, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, I'm talking to two groups of people in here. And maybe you once were a Christian. Maybe you've never even heard of who Jesus was. But tonight you want to make the decision. You know what? I'm going to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Friend, eternity is way too important, and you are way too important. If tonight was your last night here on earth and you stood face to face with God, do you know where you would spend your eternity? If you do not know, if you're on the fence, you can leave here tonight. Rest assured, I've got a relationship with Jesus. So in a moment, I'm going to count to three, and if I'm talking to you, just raise your hand so I can pray for you. One, Jesus loves you. Two, the Bible says that Jesus paid, I already see that hand, Jesus paid the price for you and I. Three, if I'm talking to you right now and you want to give your life to Jesus, can you just raise your hand? I just want to see that hand. Is there anyone else in here? I see that hand. Is there anyone else in here? I'll give it a moment longer. You are way too important, and this moment is here for you. Awesome, I see that hand. Six, we can all lift up our heads. And can we all give a hand for every single person who made that decision? Hey, look, we're going to pray really quick. And regardless if you made this decision tonight or not, can you all just pray after me because we're a family? Say, Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of the living God. You came to this earth and you died for my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for raising from the dead just for me. You are Lord of my life. In your name, amen, amen, and amen. Clap it up, clap it up.